Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. Well, kind of, sort of. My guest today is well-known to fans of prog rock. He is the mastermind behind the annual event called Rozfest. There he is, I hope. It is a great pleasure to welcome George Roldan to the program. George,
thank you
welcome.
So much for inviting me. I appreciate this. Thank you. Your timing's fantastic.
We have some great music to play, and I have lots of questions for you. But let me start with a real zinger. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is George Roldan? And by the way, did I pronounce your surname correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely said it correctly. Indeed. Not many people say it right. And it's very simple. I sometimes say it sounds like roll down the window.
Right. So tell us a bit about your background.
Well, you know, originally I was actually a law enforcement officer for 25 years. And I looked at the end of my career deciding that I needed to do something different with my life. So I actually, in a nutshell, I self-taught myself in the principles of how to become a promoter, read some books, learned everything the hard way, and got our festival to the point where it's well-known, and here we are today. But I'm very humbled by the fact that, you know, that it's not a dream. It's just something that I pursued just as more of a hobby. And it turned more into a love. And it's something that I just have a passion for. It's kind of like my mecca.
So, you know, Rozfest, as I understand it, is about to launch into its 11th year. How on earth did you create this beast?
Well, you know, I think the timing for an event such as this was probably, it must have been, I think, the timing. I think, you know, we were a festival that was spawned by the fact that, you know, there was a need for this type of music, and I felt that, you know, we could introduce this, you know, and bring in certain bands that normally you would never see in the States. So with that in mind, you know, we kept our perspective to keep it as progressive rock and make it a progressive rock festival. So, you know, we were able to lure great bands to play our festival. And, you know, it's been going that same direction. And, you know, and we kept it somewhat with our principles, what type of bands we want. You know, and it really is art rock. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, trust me. I love music, but the one genre that I just keep getting drawn to is prog rock.
Yeah.
It's just the thing. So who's going to be playing this year?
Well, you know, we've got a really nice lineup, a well-balanced lineup of, you know, veteran bands and newcomers, which, so to speak, that, which is what we do at our festival. We like to bring in new bands that no one's ever seen before, and these bands all of a sudden get spawned into a life of their own. We've got on Friday night, we've got wonderful band from Switzerland called Clepsydra, who's making a reunion. And they haven't been playing together for about 12 years, I would say. And they had some wonderful concerts over in, I believe, over in Europe, and the reviews have been great for them as far as getting ready to play at the festival. And we have our headliner, Caravan, from the UK. You know, they're the Canterbury band.
You know, when I think of Caravan, I'm transported back to, I believe, 1971 or 1972. And somewhere in my collection, I have an album called The Land of Grey and Pink. Would that be the same band?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they're girls that go pump in the night. Yeah, they have a certain sense of comedy in their music, but you know they have a Canterbury type of sound that they created all their own, and yeah, and it's one of those few bands that are still hanging around, still playing this great music, and this is why we bring this kind of a band to Rossfest, because you know you have to be able to like. Still be able to get one of those great bands at a festival, and to me, I believe they are, and they're great on stage.
All right. Now I understand that also this year you're going to have Sounds of Contact.
Oh yeah, let me tell you something. I had a chance to see this band play. I actually went to the Cruise to the Edge and. I saw this band play twice, and man, they're going to be very, very, very solid at the festival. Simon is very, very good on drums, and you know he has another drummer that plays with the band is just as good. And you know they're at a level. It's like you can see how good they really are by hearing them play live, and they are the real deal. And I think this is a band that's probably going to probably, you know, because they're considered a what they call crossover prog, and they have a chance to probably launch a career into a solid career.
Okay,
and, we're fortunate to get them early.
I'll tell you what. Before Simon talks about Simon, let's. Why don't we play a track?
I just happen
to have remote view. Would that work for you?
Oh yeah, that's a great track off the new album. Fantastic.
Okay,
and they do that well. They do that live, and they do it well.
Okay.
All right, man.
Remote view.
Thank you.
Oop, if I can get the track started.
You run a great show, man. Great interview.
Sleeping awake, going under, altered state, stream of wonder. Oh,
It's just a great track.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, tell us a bit about the band. I believe that my namesake, Simon, is
That's
involved.
Your name, right?
Right. And I got a huge chuckle out of that.
It was Simon on Simon, I guess.
Right. So
it's very exciting to have a band like this at the festival. I'm telling you, this is really a good quality band. I mean, they're people are going to be in for a really good treat. And with our sound system at our festival, I mean, this band's just going to be like dead on. And he's turning out to be quite a front man too. He really is. He's serious
now,
about what he's doing.
Who's his dad?
Who's his band?
Dad.
Well, he's got some top shelf people that are playing with him. You know, Dave Kirtner used to play for him, but he got Matt Dorsey on guitars. He's an excellent guitarist, and Ronan Gordon, who's this a session drummer, is a fantastic drummer. He's a young kid, but just fantastic. I mean, they're a young band. And on guitars is Randy McStein. He's an excellent guitarist.
Oh, okay, but if my research is correct,
I might be
wrong. His father is quite well known.
Oh yeah. You know, I actually had a chance to stand right next to him. I'm not tall by any means, okay. But he's a giant on stage, if you know what I mean. He's a good lad. You know, his dad's not that tall either. His dad, I think, was like 5'5" or something like that.
And his father is indeed Phil Collins of Genesis.
Absolutely, a giant among drummers.
Oh,
it's a shame,
yeah.
It's a shame he wouldn't make. It's a shame he just doesn't pop in and do a cameo.
Right.
It's like, hey, all of a sudden here he is on stage. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes, indeed. What I loved was reading about what Simon Collins was doing. Lead vocals, playing drums. I went, definitely a chip off the old block.
Sometimes he might even give us a couple of special covers, you know, some maybe Genesis covers. We'll see. I know we probably won't hear Mama.
I have to admit that I was in a bit of a state of confusion this morning. I had this whole schwack of music that headed my way, and I was trying to figure out, you know, who belonged to what.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to give authorship, you know, where it was due.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the tracks came from I'm not sure I can pronounce it. Clepsydra.
That's pretty close.
Right.
I would think that's the proper way to say it. I over here on the other side of the pond we say Clepsydra, but I think Clepsydra is correct.
Right.
That's the short description, I guess.
Just for fun, I want to play it, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, certainly.
Right, this is end of Tuesday.
Okay, excellent.
Now
And I guess today is the end of Thursday, but actually that was the end of Tuesday, huh?
Right. Well, no, this is where my confusion started, right? I had these tracks, and I thought about them, and I was firmly convinced this morning that, that had to be Simon Collins singing. And
really?
It was as if Phil had enrolled his son in the John Anderson Vocal School.
Well, you know, that band right there, I mean, that's at Lucio Mangini on vocals, and he actually, apparently, you know, he had some, like, some warm-up concerts over in Europe, and apparently his vocals sound just as strong as he has on these albums, and he is a very good vocalist.
I think he's just great, and they're going to be appearing at Rozfest.
Yeah, they're going to be opening up for Caravan. This is our first band that's going to be playing, and you know, people are going to be in for a nice treat here. I mean, they're a Swiss neo prog band. I hate using the word neo, but that was the classification they gave these bands back in the early days, like Jadis, IQ, and Fish Era Marillion and those type of bands, you know. And people get tags. It's progressive rock.
I love progressive rock. Don't knock it.
Oh, I absolutely love it, too. Believe me. This festival is a whole lot of fun, Jimmy. I'm telling you, thank you so much for giving me the time to come on your show. This is really cool. I appreciate that.
Okay, if the world is quiet, what do you like to listen to? I mean, I love the 70s stuff. Is that your gig as well?
You know, I'm all over the place with music. I mean, I try to stay focused with progressive rock, but I also like listening to other types of music. I like electronica. I like bands. I don't know if you've ever heard of a group called Spangle, but it's kind of like space rock. Oh, like compared to progressive rock, it'd be Ozark Tentacles. And I kind of like space music a little bit, and but also I also like alternative rock. You know, I mean, you know, like the modern stuff. Cause there's stuff there that it's interesting. You know, there's kind of like bands in there that are, you know, similar to almost like crossover prog too. You know, there's a lot of good alternative bands coming out of the U.S. right now.
Okay, trick question for you. You mentioned space rock. And the band that always leaps into my mind is Hawkwind.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Are you fans of Dave Brock and his boys?
You know what? They've been around for a long time and had so many different lineups. But yeah, I've been in the Hawkwind. I've been in the Hawkwind for quite some time. You know, they'd be a really good band. Absolutely.
Right. You should try and snag them. I talked to Dave a couple of years ago. He's a really nice guy. And
well, I know a whole lot of people would be happy to see him.
Right.
I'm serious. I mean, they've got a good fan base here in the States, so they'd be a nice band. I agree with you.
Now, let's talk.
And why not get pasty one night, right?
Sure.
Drink lots of coffee before.
let's talk prog rock for a moment.
Okay.
I really like it, and I've been honored, should we say. I've talked to many of the veterans, It was a few years ago. I interviewed Oliver Wakeman.
Oh, nice.
You know his dad, Rick.
Yeah. You had previously asked me, you know, which bands I'd like to listen to. I've always been inspired by Yes, you know, especially early Yes stuff, you know. And I love bands that aren't assimilated to, like, the band Yes, but have concepts of, like, it, you know, or similarities to it. You know, I like those kind of bands, too. So go ahead.
I asked Oliver if prog rock was making a comeback, and his response kind of threw me for a loop. He said, "Prog is a minor league sport, like cricket. It always will be." What are your thoughts?
God, you know, it's if you were to say in the States a similarity to that, we would call it the Bush Leagues. technically, inspired by the fact that if you were to look at the Bush Leagues and the baseball leagues in the early years, the Bush Leagues were probably better than the season pros. So if we were to look at prog rock in that type of capacity in the States, we're bringing in good quality bands that this American audience and that the rest of the world are just not apparently hearing, because they have no idea who they are. But these are great bands. I mean, you know this and I know this, that these are top shelf quality bands. And these aren't just like, you know, stupid indicons on stage that are just, you know, running four chords. I mean, these are talented musicians that are probably well educated, you know, and go to college, and a lot of them are self-taught. But these are quality musicians that know what they're doing. It's a whole different breed. I mean, compared to like what we see here, like bar bands trying to get through, it doesn't even compare. You know, it's our musicians in our world, our prog world, are just like top shelf in my book. And a lot of them are considered top shelf. If you look like Drummer Magazine, Guitar Magazine, you always see prog artists listed in the top. But it's how do we get their music out there?
That's the trick. How do you do it? I don't know how many.
Sonny Collins writes this great album. He wrote that. If he would have wrote that album in the 70s, that album would blow off the ceiling. It'd be fantastic, and I think you would agree. It's a great album now.
Yeah. You know, what I've discovered, and I've talked to many prog rockers, and if they were around in the 70s, and they're still alive, chances are I have chatted with them. And
yeah.
The one thing that I have noticed is that prog rock musicians are almost always classically trained, but they're not garage bands.
No. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. There's a lot of training involved with what these artists are doing, and you know there's a great book called The Strawberry Bricks Guide to Progressive Rock. It was written by Charles Snyder, and the book's amazing. I mean, it's a whole era of 70s prog bands, and a lot of these bands are still active today, and it's the amount of music that was created by progressive rock bands is just unbelievable. It's huge as far as in, I would consider, archives of music. I mean, it's like it's a whole world within itself.
Well, in my view, it's quality music.
Absolutely.
A lot of these bands in the '70s were actually huge bands. I mean, you know, you take Gentle Giant for instance. I mean, you know, did they really have a top 100 hit in the States? I think they might have broke in one song, but they just toured a lot. They did a lot of tours with a lot of bands in the States, and that's what they were well known for. And a lot of their CDs are still selling in the U.S. market today and in stores, which is incredible.
Well, in my opinion, two things happened in prog rock. One, the bands became more distant, which didn't make the audience all that happy. And the other thing was, punk.
Yeah.
That definitely was the
nail. I mean, that was the nail in the coffin that pretty much did it, because the airwaves were and the youth, you know, I guess they call it the sonic youth. I don't know. Were not ready to listen to something that was like, you know, in the times. You know, for us, it's like, you know, we understand it, we get it, but you know what? Music got simple.
Right.
It went back to this minimalistic, very simple kind of a sound. And, you know, it's punk, you know, and it's like, and then it totally warps.
Right. Well, the problem was also compounded by FM radio. They loved the 3-minute song, and prog just never seemed to, fit that bill.
But see, you know what though? You know the greats though. I mean, the classic greats. You used to be able to like write those little ballads. You know, those sweet little 3-4 minute ballads that were, you know, that had some sustainable airwaves. All right, the prog bands today we really don't do that anymore. It's not that they're, you know, putting their thumbs up against the man. It's just that the bands are, I think they really wear their hearts on their sleeves now. Yeah, it's a big difference. Because
right. Yeah, I had a conversation with Keith Emerson, who basically said, "We don't give a flying F."
Yeah.
We had enough money. We just went into tax exile, and let punk take over.
Yeah, but you know what's nice though, and I kind of like appreciate our scene is that, you know, we're somewhat underground, but we're like right on the surface. You know, I mean, take for instance some of the more popular kind. You know, I'm not saying that it's in the same vein, but bands like Porcupine Tree, you know, they were able to cross over and got picked up by like Roadrunner Records, which is a big label. Yeah, and you know, and there's still hope. You know, there's still hope that, you know, continuing with that success of those type of bands, that this music will continue to keep going. You know, but I still like, you know, like the smaller bands that are coming out, like the bands from the UK that are coming out, and, you know, bands out of Norway that are coming out. There's a whole new breed of, like, spawning prog rock bands that are just fresh, with new sounds, fresh sounds. And, you know, it's almost stuff like aching back to the 70s, too.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock, but I do want to try and squeeze in a couple more songs if you have time.
I got you. We're good.
Okay. All right. Let's go for Pale Blue Dot.
I'll get to it.
Thank you. Now, this
pale
track,
blue dot.
Yeah, this track sounds more like Phil Collins than Phil Collins sounds like.
you know, I mean, if you just closed your eyes, you would say for sure that was definitely Phil Collins singing, right?
Right.
I'm not lying to you. I mean, I'm stunned by how the similarity of the vocals are. It's just incredible. That should be very proud. He's like, that's a chip off the old block.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. I mean, when I heard it, I went, oh.
It's not just that. It goes beyond that. I mean, it's like looking at young Phil on stage with hair.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of that these days.
I'm losing it too, so I won't say too much.
Okay, time for some absolutely shameless commercialization. Where can people find information about Rozfest?
Well, you know, what we have found, and, you know, we have tried many ways to promote the festival. I mean, we used to be in the city of Philadelphia at a theater called the Keswick Theater, and we actually used the radio, and we had a group called Circa, which had members of the group Yes in that group. We had members like Tony Kay, Billy Sherwood, Alan White, and Jimmy Hahn, and, you know, we used the music based upon Yes to try to promote this festival at the theater, and you know, to be honest with you, even with that, it was somewhat fruitless, because unless you're connected with that particular type of music, people just don't know about it, and unfortunately that's been the case. But what we have found that through the internet, like our Facebook pages. We have a group page and also a home page on Facebook, and we, you know, and we're still growing in popularity. But we found that through the internet, the strong internet response from the prog community is that's where it's at, and that's how we all communicate. We use the forums, we use places like Prog Archives, you know, and New England Archives, places like that to get the word out. So there is a big line of communication through the internet, and that really is the way to go right now.
Okay.
Through sources like yours.
I'm not in your neck of the woods, but if I was, you know, where would I go to buy tickets?
Well, you would go to our website, that rozfest.com, and you could go to our ticket link window, and it'll send you right to the Majestic Theater. Or there's also a link on our Facebook page that'll take you to the Majestic Theater. And at the Majestic Theater, there's a link there to buy tickets now, and that's where our festival is held, at the Majestic Theater, and it is themajestictheater.com.
And as I understand it, it's kicking off on May the 2nd.
Yeah, we're next weekend. Is that right? Oh, my God. You know, I actually take a little personal interest in doing some things myself. Like, I actually make all the lanyards myself. And I got those done yesterday. And you know, there's almost 200 lanyards with guest passes, artist passes, all access passes, you know. But they look great. It's a little thing, man. It's a little thing.
I can't be there, but I want one.
You know, I'd be glad to send you one.
I would love that.
My appreciation for doing this too. Just give me your address. Shoot me an email with your address, and I'll shoot one off to you.
Oh, perfect.
We'll get you out to Rozfest one year.
Oh, and okay, Rozfest.
Here's a band I want you to keep an ear out for.
Right. Rozfest. When I first saw the word, I went, Oh, Lord, it's a bunch of people looking for aliens. Has to have something to do with Roswell. But
yeah, right. And you know what's funny about that? There's actually two festivals in the state called in the United States called the Rites of Spring Festival. There's one in Vanderbilt University, and we shorten it by calling it Rosfest, but it does stand for the Rites of Spring Festival. And I kind of stole that from Tchaikovsky because you know we've always had our festival in the spring, and it's a good time of year for us because our winters completely totally suck here. So when people are woodshedding for the longest time, and it's a great time to like get together and have a big party.
I love it.
Well, that's what it's all about, you know. And you know, it becomes more than just a music festival, man. It really becomes us, you know, the people that attend it. You know, and every year, you know, we see a lot of the same faces. But we continue to see new faces, too, which is cool, you know, especially younger people, which is what we're trying to draw. Otherwise, if not, we're going to get older and older and older, right?
Right. are you seeing each year get bigger and bigger? I do hope you're going to say yes.
Yes, actually yes, and you know this was a very well balanced year for us because, you know, we had a festival 3 weeks prior to us, which was the Cruise to the Edge, so you know going up against something like that, you know, and drawing on audience from like different perspectives, it's not demographically anywhere associated with us, so it doesn't really affect our market. So we're still doing very strong this year, and we feel that we're going to continue to do very well in the future, too. So I'm very happy about that.
Oh, okay,
we have,
George.
We have a strong
audience. I'm going to squeeze in one last song.
Sign it.
Another one from,
Vidra?
Yeah. I'm glad you said it rather than me.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to have a hard time trying to say that name, you know.
Okay, I'm not sure we can fit in the entire 9-minute opus.
I
so,
and I do have to, and I do have to roll out too, Simon. And
so,
but I want
you
to
know,
thank you.
Well, I want to thank you. It's been delightful, and I do hope that you will contact me after Rosfest and let me know how it all went.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. Hey, I'd like to make one quick recommendation for you, if you're not
okay.
Familiar with them. It's a band from the UK, and they're called Vienna Circle. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well you definitely should get in tune with this band. they have a wonderful album that just came out in 2013, and they're working on their second album, and you should check them out.
I certainly will. Can you?
What's your big tip of the day?
Yeah. Shoot me an email.
Okay,
George.
Well, I'll definitely send you some details on the band. I'll give you a website and all that so you can check them out. But
sure.
I think you'll be delighted. But I think you'll be delighted with them. I know what type of music that we both like. So I think this might be right up your alley.
Right. And George, it has been wonderful talking to you. And
likewise, Simon. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay. So we're going to close the program with part of The Missing Spark. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe day. Till next time, goodbye.
In the rough. Bye-bye.
You should not forget that my life belongs to me. Strong, not to respect yourself, you should do your very best. You look at me, look me in the eye. Talk to me as if you were a friend.